James Corbett of CorbettReport.com with your Sunday update for this 28th day of March 2010. And now for the real news. In our top story this week, the Pentagon, the CIA, and even private mercenary forces are increasing pressure on online whistleblowing site WikiLeaks and on the Icelandic Modern Media Initiative currently before Icelandic Parliament that will create the world's first global safe haven for whistleblowers and journalists with sensitive information. On the 15th of March, WikiLeaks released a classified U.S. Department of Defense document from 2008 detailing Pentagon plans to undermine WikiLeaks through the identification, exposure, termination of employment, criminal prosecution, and legal action against current or former insiders, leakers, or whistleblowers. The document also discusses how fake stories could be given to the site in an attempt to damage its reputation, and admits that numerous stories released on the site in the past have embarrassed the U.S. military. On the 18th of March, WikiLeaks editor Julian Assange was followed by U.S. intelligence officials on a flight from Iceland to Denmark. The agents checked in on the flight under the name U.S. State Department and were not carrying any luggage. Also that day, the Reykjavik Grapevine reported that a new private company known as ECA Program are soliciting military training and support to the Icelandic government. Little is known about the mysterious mercenary group other than that they were previously denied permission to operate in Canada. Iceland does not have a military force of its own. On the 22nd of March, a WikiLeaks volunteer was detained by Icelandic police and interrogated about a recent WikiLeaks production meeting held in a secure location. The volunteer was shown photographs of the meeting and asked about specific topics that were addressed there, indicating that the group is under constant surveillance. Although the group has raised the ire of governments around the world for its willingness to publish classified and politically sensitive information, that scrutiny has reached a crescendo in recent weeks as the site has become involved in the Icelandic Modern Media Initiative and its proposal to pass a wide-ranging series of whistleblower protection and anti-libel laws that would make Iceland the world leader for journalism and source protection. Earlier this month, the Corbett Report talked to Professor Salvor Gisardotis of the University of Iceland about this initiative. Tell us about what excites you about this proposal.
It is the protection of people that come forward as whistleblowers, and also that you can express yourself without somebody that has much better resources than you have that goes to London, for example, and can sue you for and whatever in the world. So these libel tourists, this is not something that I can take advantage of, or the citizens. It is for the rich people, and those people that own banks. They have a horde of lawyers, and the ordinary citizens is even the situation in Iceland, for example, is such that those are the people that own the banks. They control also the lawsuits that have all the lawyers. So I'm mostly excited about libel that you cannot use libel tourists in Iceland.
WikiLeaks is now in possession of a decrypted U.S. military video showing the murder of civilians by U.S. pilots. They are planning to release the footage at the U.S. National Press Club on April 5th. In economic news this week, absolute proof of the manipulation of precious metals markets was delivered in a startling fashion by Bill Murphy, chairman of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, at a hearing of the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Mr. Murphy recounted the story of a whistleblower named Andrew Maguire, a London metals trader who detailed how J.P. Morgan Chase was manipulating metals markets by shorting precious metals and then orchestrating a takedown in market price. In November of 2009, Maguire sent information about this criminal activity to the CFTC Enforcement Division, which is supposed to look into such matters. On February 3rd, Maguire even began an email exchange with Elliot Ramirez, a senior investigator in CFTC Enforcement, detailing and predicting exactly how such a market manipulation was to take place. 2 days later, the manipulation took place exactly as predicted, and Maguire even carried on an email exchange with Ramirez as the events were playing out, writing, quote, "It is common knowledge here in London among the metals traders that it is JPM's intent to flush out and cover as many shorts as possible prior to any discussion in March about position limits. I feel sorry for all those not in this loop. A serious amount of money was made and lost today, and in my opinion, as a result of the CFTC's allowing by your own definition an illegally concentrated and manipulative position to continue." Earlier this month, the Corbett Report talked to Bob Chapman, formerly the world's largest silver and gold stockbroker, about manipulation in the metals markets and how it can be stopped.
But the point here is that if you don't have the Federal Reserve involved in manipulating the gold market, and they are, believe me, and Bernanke recently lied to Congress about it, and you forbid the Treasury to manipulate the gold market, and you do away with the executive order signed by Ronald Reagan in 1988 as a result of the October 1987 crash in the stock market, the working group on financial markets, you do away with that. You don't allow them to engage in manipulating free markets. And when that happens, gold will go based upon real inflation. Since the top on gold at 850 in 1980, I have a figure now of $7,050. John Williams is just a shade under $7,500 as the real value of gold. The official value is $2,300 and we'll say $2,400 to make it easy. And it just shows you how they lie about their numbers.
Slamming the CFTC's complacency in the light of this new whistleblower evidence of market manipulation, GATA Chairman Murphy told the CFTC commissioners, quote, "This is how much the gold cartel fears the CFTC's enforcement division. They thumb their noses at you because in more than a decade of complaints and 18 months of a silver market manipulation investigation, nothing has been done to stop them. And this is why JPM's cocky and arrogant traders in London are able to brag that they manipulate the market," end quote. Upon hearing this startling testimony, Commissioner Bart Chilton joked that Mr. Murphy had given too much information and then promptly changed the subject. The CFTC has yet to release any statement on this evidence or why the commission failed to act when informed of ongoing manipulations. Finally this week, Victoria police are in hot water over a shocking video of police abuse that was posted to YouTube last Monday. The video shows Victoria police brutally attacking Tyler Archer, a bystander at the scene of a brawl outside a Victoria nightclub last Monday morning. Archer was in fact a victim of the brawl, having been attacked by a group of strangers and left on the ground. After Archer's friend pointed him out to police as someone in need of medical attention, the officers moved toward him and began kicking him repeatedly. The incident is only the latest in a string of incidents involving horrific police brutality and British Columbia law enforcement.
For a moment, the four Mounties try to talk to Jakansky, but it's no good. He seems to shrug and move away, and that is when he is tasered with 50,000 volts of electricity. He falls and is tasered again. The Mounties pile on top of him as he writhes and moans.
You know, I sort of turned around and saw him sort of, you know, in this position here, you know.
From his seat on a bus, Jonathan Campbell Menzies says he saw police continue to shoot Boyd even after he'd already been hit and had fallen to the ground. Menzies has tacked up these posters at the memorial site.
It went on for too long. It wasn't just a shooting. It wasn't a murder. It was an execution-style killing.
Well, Transit Police said today they have no intention of changing their policy despite public outcry. Earlier this week, we learned Transit Police were using tasers on so-called non-compliant passengers, some of them described as non-violent fare evaders.
The Victoria Police Department is defending the actions of its officers in this latest incident, saying that until people in the area of a crime scene are secured, police have a wide latitude to act against anyone at the scene. After defending the officers' actions, Victoria Police Chief Jamie Graham says he has no doubt that the Vancouver Police Department will conduct a thorough and independent investigation into the incident. Now, stay tuned for episode 123 of the Corbett Report, Meet Smedley Butler, where we take a look at the life and times of one of the most highly decorated men in the history of the U.S. Marine Corps and someone who realized that war is a racket.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.